verse number 10, Ephesians, that's page 1177. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We end there. Time I've had the privilege to preach, we've been looking at our warfare, the believer's armor, and tonight we should be finishing that. So do bear with me, everything's cramped in here. There's a lot of information just from so much stuff, and so I will quickly try to get it all in time. So, no soldier goes to war without the right gear. It was last year the American defense, the American military was sued because five of their soldiers were traveling in what was supposed to be an armored vehicle, but it was not maintained. It was not kept up to date, if you like. The equipment was insufficient. It wasn't working properly. And these five soldiers drove over an IED. That's an improvised device, a mine or a bomb. And it obviously blew up and they all were sadly killed. And the families of those soldiers sued them because the army was supplying equipment that was not fit for the purpose. And as soldiers for Christ, we have been given the armor of God. We have been given a full body armor, if you like, that would give us an advantage in our warfare, in our Christian walk. And tonight I want to emphasize this point, that we have to use the full armor of God, not half, not a quarter, not a bit, but the full armor of God. If those soldiers were in the vehicle, if that vehicle was properly maintained, they would have still been alive. And so we have to maintain our armor. We have to maintain our tools that God has given us. So now we have already looked at how the devil and his demons are actively on a mission to hinder the work of God. Therefore, the spiritual battle is very real, and we have to take it seriously because we know that the enemy is taking it seriously. There's a story of a servant and his master, and the servant would always witness to the master to be saved, to turn to God, but this master was harsh, and he would mock the servant, he would laugh at him. And one day they went out shooting, and the master says to his servant, listen, I don't understand. So, you know, you're always telling me about this God of yours. And, well, when I look at your life, you've always got problems. You're always suffering. You're always complaining about this. This has happened to you and this has happened to you. But look at my life. It's perfect. I have everything I need, all the wealth in the world. So why is God nice to me and not nice to you? He said to the servant. And for a minute, the servant stood there and he didn't know what to say. He had no response. And then the boss had a massive grin on his face, went, told ya. And then they walked off and they went shooting and he shot a bird and the bird fell down. And the servant ran after the bird, chased it, picked it up and said, I've got it. I've got it. He ran back to the master. And the master says, I know you've got it because I shot it. And he said, no, I've got it. I know why you don't have any sufferings. I know why you don't have any problems and you think everything's fine. And he says, oh, you do then. Why? Because you're already dead, like the bird. You are already dead. The devil doesn't want you. And so the moral of the story here is because we are in Christ, we are in a spiritual warfare. We are dead to sin and alive in Christ. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes in as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. So we must be convinced of this, that we are in a battle. We must take this absolute serious and be convinced of it. Because if we don't, you've already lost the war. You've already lost the battle. You will not take your armor seriously. You will not take the word of God seriously. So we have already looked at verse 10 to 15. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, and gospel of peace. And we'll be finishing tonight by looking at verse 16 to 18. The shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. So let's look back at verse 16. Ephesians 6 verse 16. And let's begin to look at the shield of faith. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So here we are in verse 16, and Paul says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. Again, he's emphasizing the point that everything works together with everything else you already have. It's not that this is separate and it's different, but because you have everything, take up this. Add this to everything else that you have. This shield was not a small round shield that we think of when we see Captain America or modern superheroes, but it was a huge shield, a massive shield made out of leather and wood, and it was strong and it was big enough that if you were to put it on the ground, and you were my size, below average apparently, it will cover you and it will protect you from the arrows of the enemy. So Paul likens the attacks of Satan to flaming arrows. Because here is where the devil is most active. He fires arrows in our minds and he hopes they would spread. These arrows come from unexpected quarters or unexpected places. Just like in a battle, arrows are fired from all angles. They pierce and they penetrate and they torment the soul, just like an arrow that's on fire would. The only way to meet them is by the shield of faith, by confidence in God, and by relying on His gracious promises and aid. You see, once our mind is affected, then our emotions are affected. We then make decisions by our emotions, rather by the word of God and truth. That's how the devil operates. He drops a seed, a hint, a little whisper in the mind. This could be the seed of doubt, seed of anger, hate, seeds of hate towards those who are different from us. And the list goes on. You see, even from day one, the devil was dropping seeds, even in the garden. You remember what he said to Eve? Did God really say that? Does the Bible really say that? Have your sins really been forgiven? Is Jesus really the Son of the living God? And the devil will drop seeds slowly, little by little, hoping they would spread. Once the seed is planted, we do the rest. So let's take prayer, for example. A seed will be dropped. What's the point of praying? Does God really answer prayers? Oh, He knows everything anyway, so I don't need to pray. You don't have to pray. And that seed begins to grow. And then eventually, yeah, why should I pray? God knows everything anyway. And yet we know the Bible tells us to continually pray for all occasions. And that's what the enemy does. He wants to drop seeds and he wants us to stop growing in the things of God. There's a saying that says, the bed will land on your head, but do not let it build a nest. In other words, do not entertain the seeds of the flesh or the enemy. It's interesting. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for. The enemy will find a seed that will arouse the passions or the emotions. You know, there's sometimes I'll be maybe at home on my desk or even on the train. I could be at work. I could be anywhere. And I will get angry because I'm thinking about the things I used to do when I was in school, the people that offended me in school. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, that guy, I should have strangled him. What did he say? That? And I have to stop myself. Like, where did that come from? That's years ago. That's millions of years. Where did it even come from? And these seeds start off subtle. So let me say on that note quickly that this is why I'll throw this in. That forgiveness is crucial. We must forgive and let go of those who have offended us. Because if we don't, we're giving the enemy an advantage. We're giving him ammo to accuse us. As long as the Roman soldier was behind the shield, he was protected from the flaming arrows. The shield of faith is what will protect us from the flaming arrows of the evil one. The book of Psalms chapter 28, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me. We must have the shield of faith to protect us from the arrows of the enemy. That's what the shield is for. When the enemy attacks, believers are to trust in God and His sure promises to block and quench the flaming arrows. So the question has to be asked, what is faith and what does it look like? The Bible says this about faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. One commentator says, the Christian hopes to be admitted into heaven, to be raised up in the last day from the slumbers of the tomb, to be made perfectly free from sin, to be everlastingly happy under the influence of faith. He allows these things to control his mind as if they were most affecting reality. So faith is allowing the truth of Scripture to control your mind, to control your emotions, not the thoughts or the seeds of the enemy, but the Word of God. So as long as a Christian has faith, he is safe. Faith comes to his aid in every attack that is made on him, no matter from what angle. It is the defense and guardian of every other Christian grace. It secures and protects, that is what the Christian needs in the spiritual warfare. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, faith here means the ability to apply quickly what we believe so as to repel everything the devil does or attempt to do to us. And that's the shield of faith. Now we want to quickly look at helmet of salvation. Verse number 17, Ephesians 6, verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So no suit of armor could be complete without a protection of the head. The helmet was a cap made of thick leather or brass. It was fitted to the head. Its use was obviously to guard the head from a blow, from a sword, from an axe. The helmet of salvation will protect us from the blows of the enemy. This salvation is not talking about getting saved. For we know this soldier, he's already saved because he's in the battle, right? Those are not saved are not in a battle. So we easily know that when Paul says the helmet of salvation, he was not talking about getting saved, rather that the believer should realize his assurance in his salvation that is in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the Bible says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So our hope is in God, not the things of this world, not in our job or careers, not in our politicians, not in man or flesh, but rather in Him who created heaven and earth. There lies our hope and our salvation in Christ and Christ alone. Satan will try and make you feel weak. He will try to make us feel weak and say, oh, you don't belong to the kingdom. Or you're not this, you're not that. You are lustful. You are full of anger. You don't belong to the kingdom of God. There are lies and seeds he will drop. And this is where 17b of our scripture comes in. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword. As the sword was the soldier's only weapon, so God's word is the only needed weapon the believer really needs to attack and fend off the enemy. Because we look at the scripture for our defense and for our attack. The sword was an essential part of the armor. It was vital. A soldier needed his sword. His other weapons were bow, spear, or the axe. But without a sword, no soldier would have regarded himself as well armed. The swords they used to use back then was almost like a dagger. It was short and it was usually two-edged. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus said this, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we have a weapon that is far greater than anything the devil can come up with. We have the word of God. And we must use it. We have to use it. Jesus used it to defend from the attacks of the devil. How much more for us? Romans chapter 15 verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Beloved, God has given us all the tools we need, and we need to use them. Let's get in the Word. Let's hunger for His Word. Let's read His Word. If you're finding yourself dry, ask God, give me a hunger, give me a thirst for your Word, that I might learn something. Give me a desire to read your word, because we must use his word. A soldier must use his tools. Verse 18, Ephesians 6 verse 18, and finally we reach verse 18. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Again, he emphasized prayer in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So this armor we're going to end is on prayer. And because that's not a coincidence that we need prayer. Prayer is just vital. Albert Barnes says, it would be well for the soldier who goes forth to battle to pray for victory, or to pray that he may be prepared for death should he fall. But soldiers do not often feel the necessary need to pray. To the Christian soldier, however, it is indispensable. Prayer crowns all lawful efforts with success and gives a victory where nothing else would. No matter how complete the armor, no matter how skilled we may be in the science of warfare, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer, we shall be defeated. God alone can give the victory. And when the Christian soldier goes forth armed completely for the spiritual conflict, if he looks to God by prayer, he may be sure of triumph. Prayer has to be a habit. Prayer is something that we have to build up as part of our spiritual life. It must become a habit. We cannot, and I repeat, we cannot confer with the flesh about whether to pray or not. It's always, let me pray. Just like the scriptures. It's not in our nature to want us, for us to read the Bible. It's not in our nature to read or to hunger for that read. It's not in our nature. Neither is it in our nature to want to pray. But the more you do it, the more you want to do it. The more you know you need it. And the more it becomes your nature. Because you've made it a habit. It's something that we have to work on and graft. Sometimes it's simple. But sometimes it's a battle. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. Being watchful and thankful. Let's make it a habit. Let's make it a routine. Praying for one another. Praying for situations. Praying for the right mind to make the right decisions. Always praying. We are praying to our Heavenly Father. We are talking to our Heavenly Father. And that's powerful. That we can pray any time of the day, any time of the hour. There's a story of a newspaper reporter who was stationed in Jerusalem. This is just a story. It's not true. He was placed near the wedding wall where all the Jews would come to this wall and pray, and different faiths would gather there and they would pray and write things on the wall. And his hotel was not far from there. And every day the story goes that he would see this man praying at the wall. Every day. And year in, year out, as he's stationed at his place, he would look out his hotel window and the man would be there praying. And so one day he decided, you know what, there must be a story to this. I need to go and find out more. There must be a story to it. So he went, and there's this man next to the wall, praying to the wall. And he said to him, brother, I have been coming here for over 5 years, and I see you praying, facing the wall. How long have you been doing this? He said, I've been praying for many, many years. I've been coming here. And the reporter's like, wow, wow, what do you pray for? I pray for everything. I pray for this. I pray for that. And he said, that's powerful. And how does it feel? And he said, well, to be honest, I feel like I'm praying to a brick wall. That was just to wake you up. The truth is, we're not praying to a brick wall. We're not praying to thin air, but we're praying to our Heavenly Father. We're praying to a God who hears and answers prayers. It's a privilege. The curtain has been torn. We no longer have to ask the high priest, if you like, as they used to, but we can go direct. I am told that when you go to meet the queen, you can't speak to her unless she speaks to you. And here we are. We can speak to our Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, at any time, any given hour. Let's make it a habit. Let's make it our nature to love to pray and to seek the things of God. So in summary, just to close up, let's put on the full armor of God and be ready to stand our ground against the enemy and his arrows that seek to derail us off the gospel tracks. Let us be fully equipped And let us take this battle seriously. For the enemy is not playing about. Amen. I will end here this evening. I'm going to pray and then we can sing our last song. Father, we are so grateful that you have given us the privilege of your word, privilege of scripture, privilege of prayer. You have given us tools to encourage one of us, to encourage one another. You have given us everything we need for our walk in the faith. Father, we pray you would help us, equip us to use these tools, to take this seriously, not just to wait for Sundays, but day in, day out, encouraging one another, praying for one another. Father, help us to take this armor, the full armor, and to use it for your glory, that your name will be glorified. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe also our last song will also be a